the second half against Washington, you win in the game 17-14.
Yep.
Fourth quarter. You run the ball six times in the second half. Against Pittsburgh, you're only down 14-10, 8 minutes to go. You only ran the ball three times. Mm-hmm. I think against Baltimore, you ran the ball seven times in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Just my knowledge, what little I have, is that teams that have more rushing attempts in a football game win the football game.
I would argue that teams that have a higher yards per carry win the football game. And the teams that have a higher yards per carry run the football more in the football game because they're having success running the ball. It's kind of the chicken and the egg to me. You know, you can if handing the ball off 30 times would win the game automatically, we'd hand it off the first 30 plays every week. You know what I mean? But if you're averaging 1.8 yards a carry, which is what I think we averaged in the Pittsburgh game, 1.8 times three, you're going to have a lot of fourth and fours, and it's going to be hard to do much. And then you put yourself in third and longs, and you ultimately get into that situation where you make a decision. Should we take three shots throwing the ball to try to get 10 yards, or should we put ourselves at jeopardy of being in a lot of long yarded situations and doing those kind of things? So I'm not arguing with the point of running the football. There's no question we'd love to run the football in the first half and the second half. But I think the biggest key for us is how successful we're running it. And, people may argue, well, you got to run it more there's pros and cons to that too. How long do you wait before the 1.8 starts to go up to 4.5 and 5 yards a carry? And sometimes as a play caller, you get a feeling of whether or not that's going to be the thing that's going to carry you or not, I think you definitely want to try to do it and stay balanced in both halves, but I think how well you're running it is more important than how many times you run it.
Have you seen it enough times in sports where momentum is real? You can't put your finger on it, but it's real. Is that it's momentum something that you're addressing this week?
I don't think we're not addressing momentum. Obviously if you're looking at, the last 3 weeks, we haven't had momentum in terms of, coming off of one game into the next week and those kind of things. But that happens in this league for every team, usually every season. You run into a few, weeks where you don't play the way you want to, and I don't think you sit there and say, now look, here's what we got to do to get momentum back. I think it's more focused on what we have to do to play better. And if we can play better, then I think the momentum will come back. And I don't think that's an easy, it's not an easy fix. You go back to work, you work hard, you try to play better. And if you do, you have success. And if you have success, then usually you can say you have momentum. It's not the AFC. This is not a championship game. That is exactly what it's not. We know how important it is, to play San Diego and beat San Diego. I think they do too. And every division game has added importance every season. So those are the important things. I don't think anybody's season is going to be the finish of this season isn't going to be dictated on Sunday. Somebody's going to have a leg up, going forward, and hopefully can control. And in our case, hopefully we can control that from that point forward. But we're not going to go into this game and act like it's the last game of the season or the AFC title game or anything like that. This is a game against a tough division opponent that we want to win, and they do too.
Last Sunday, it seemed like Knowshon really took another step forward. Mm-hmm. He did get the bulk of the carries. Was that more of a box fumble? Was that something soft in Knowshon? Is that just the way the game dictated? And will that kind of
combination of maybe all that. He was running the ball well, certainly. Buck was playing more in sub, and past some of the passing situations that we were out there on and the two-minute drill. And so just kind of the way the game went, I think, and we did feel good about how he was playing. And we just kind of let them go, you know. And that's kind of how we've been all year is, you know, those guys kind of go back and forth and rotate in and out. And then, you know, if one guy ends up doing some things a little bit better that week, then we let him play a little longer. And I don't think any of us have any problem with either one of those two in the game at any point. And, you know, whether it's Noshon getting more carries or Buck, we'll live with either one of them because we, like I said, we have great confidence in both of them.
Yeah, rookie, especially with the running back, is it the point when it starts to click is when he's not thinking as much, he can actually get out there and react and he learns enough about the game that he can do that?
I think running the ball, you know, there's some finer things that we try to teach our backs that I'm sure he's been taught during the course of his career. You know, he's been well coached at Georgia and so I think that's some of those little things may be a little different. I think more times than not for a rookie running back, it's more about the passing game that's a little bit new. You know, whether it be a protection variation or a route or something that we're asking of him to do in the blitz pickup game. Those are the things that I think are more difficult for a running back to learn his first year. He's got great instincts. Most of them do that get drafted highly and play well in the league, you know. So handing him the ball and letting him make decisions and run, you know, with his vision and do all those things, I think comes a lot more natural to a younger back than some of the other things that you may ask of him. But I've said it a number of times, he's as ready to handle that as any back I've ever been around at a young age, you know, in terms of that responsibility. And very pleased with his progress and the way that he's continuing to get better and improve each week and the way he's playing.
Josh, Chris Sims doing practice yesterday, and can you sense that he's really going to benefit from the extra reps?
Hey, Chris had a good day yesterday. Feel very good about the way he practiced. Mentally, he's on top of the game plan, as is Kyle. And I think any quarterback's going to benefit from the reps. I think he certainly did. I think as practice went on, even, you know, you could see, you know, there's a little juice to him, and he got confident and more confident. And so it was good to see that. We know he can do that, and I think everybody has great confidence in him.
Can you go about Kyle?
Say it again.
How was he this morning, Kyle?
Good. We're going to see, he's feeling better. We're going to see if he can do much today, and then continue on his rehab schedule. Certainly not making any determinations based on where he's at now. But we'd love for him to be out there as soon as he can possibly be out there, and very hopeful that he's going to play.
Tougher for a quarterback to get treatments given the amount of time they spend on video
monitoring? Probably not as difficult now, maybe as it was when you were growing up. But I mean, they got all those electrical stuff that they could take with them. I mean, we got buzzers going off in meetings and little beeps and all kinds of stuff. So portable ice machines. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. So it's not as difficult as you would think. Not as difficult as you think.
Do you believe in the idea that intimidation exists in the NFL, whether physically or mentally?
I don't know. I think that it can exist, but I think it's more of a product of the feeling you get during the course of the game that, you know, the other team is really playing together. We always thought that, you know, I've always thought in my career that when, you know, when the defense made a tackle and there were nine guys standing over top of the runner, not because they ran there and said things to him, but just the mere fact that the guy standing there on the ground looking up going, well, if he didn't get me, any number of the other three or four or six would have got me anyway. You know what I mean? I think the way that people play and the energy and the enthusiasm, I don't think the waving up to the crowd, and I don't think that's intimidating. I don't think that players really get that affected by noise. I think noise can hinder some scheme things. But I think intimidation comes from teams playing as one, teams playing hard, and that other team seeing that on every snap. Gosh, there's so many guys out here that are playing hard today, and there's just no let up. And I think that can be intimidating if you get a team to play like that all the time. And hopefully we can do that, you know, continuing going going forward in the season? Two more?
Yeah.
You want me to say it for you? Okay.
Trying to anticipate.
All right.
How do you think Mitch Berger has played so far for you, and how important is he to you this week based on, you know, his roles?
Mitch is, you know, like I said before, we ask our punter to do different things. And I think the punt game in general, from our perspective and what we ask of our punter, is more of a team philosophy, more of the punt team. You know, we don't necessarily want him to bang the ball down there 55 yards with 5.5 or with 4.5 hang time or 4 hang time and let the guy take it back at us and, you know, hold our breath for the entire play. We ask him sometimes to hang it up high and short so we can cover it. And we did a couple of those last week, and David Bruton made a tackle right as Santana Moss caught the ball, and that was exactly kind of the play we were looking for. But where we punt from on the field changes how we ask our punter to punt. He's directionally kicked the ball well at times, and then there's been some other times that when you ask a punter to do that, you know, every one of them is not going to be perfect, and we understand that. But we also believe that punting the ball and covering it and all those things kind of go hand in hand. So we're more concerned about the net than, you know, his gross average, and I think he's getting better at what we're asking him to do. Again, he's only punted a few times now, a few weeks for us, in this kind of a system, this style. So I think that takes some time to get used to, but have great trust in him and that he's going to continue to work at it and get better. I think he's also doing an excellent job holding, which is also an important part of the punter's job for our kicking game.
Josh, I know that you've got a lot on your plate and you've got a lot of things to concern yourself with, but if Sims does get the start, mm-hmm. he'd be the first one since 06 when he had that devastating injury. Mm-hmm. Can you take a step back and just appreciate what that would mean to Chris to, you know, start after
yep.
going through what he did?
Yep, I think there's a lot of us here, and I know myself, I have a great deal of respect for what he's overcome now to come back and do this, and I can also see every day why he's overcome it. He works as hard or harder than anybody we have on our team. His attitude is phenomenal. He's got a great work ethic. He lives in a weight room. He runs after practice when there's nobody looking, you know, when he doesn't think anybody's looking. And those are the kind of things that, you know, make you believe in a kid like this that went through an injury the way he did. And now he's, you know, brought himself back. He's gained all the weight back. He's strong. He's healthy. He's got a great attitude and approach as a backup quarterback, which sometimes I know that can be discouraging or disheartening. You know, if you go long stretches of time, months at a time without maybe playing, and certainly don't get many reps during the course of the week. But his outlook, I'm sure, was probably affected by that. And I think he enjoys every day that he's here, and he takes advantage of it. And that's why I think that our team embraces him in his role and would embrace him in whatever role he would serve for us. Because, again, I think you gain a great deal of respect from your coaches and your peers by how you work and how you handle yourself. And I don't know that anybody does that better than he does.